This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast, the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant litigator who does almost all of his work for portfolio companies and for private equity funds and works through disputes and issues that they're dealing with. We're going to talk about some of those issues that he's seeing in this time of coronavirus. David, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Scott. My name is David Pivnik. I'm a partner at McGuire Woods in Chicago, and my practice has been focused for about the last 12 years on all aspects of healthcare litigation. The last several years, as you know, private equity has continued to increasingly invest in the healthcare space, I've done an increasing amount of work for private equity funds, you know, in the investment process with their investments in healthcare, and then also for platform companies as litigation arises. So it's a space where I've been spending a lot of time and have an increasing amount of familiarity and dealing with the issues that come up.
Certainly. And so in this era of private equity funds being invested in so much of the world, including the healthcare sector, take a moment on how you consult with private equity funds. Is it in the front end of deals where they're looking at false claims liability? Is it with one of their portfolio companies gets a notice from the Department of Justice or the FBI? Where do you end up interacting with private equity funds and so forth?
Sure. Right now, I'd say there are a handful of buckets where I'm interacting heavily with private equity funds. The largest in terms of my time and effort is spent with portfolio companies and litigation that arises post-transaction. So a lot of that time is spent responding to government civil investigative demands or subpoenas that are served on portfolio companies that the private equity fund is invested in post-transaction, and responding to the government, representing the company, and defending any false claims or related case that arises. We've also served as sort of an outside general counsel litigation role for a variety of portfolio companies on smaller day-to-day matters, whether it's negotiating and addressing disputes with insurance companies, dealing with, you know, recoupment actions or, you know, government refunds on a proactive matter, dealing with small dollar contract disputes or larger breach of contract issues. So we're seeing a lot of that day-to-day work where, because we're pretty familiar with the healthcare space, as well as the goals and intents of our private equity clients, the sort of pace that they want to move and where their focus and priorities lie, we're able to move through and handle those matters fairly efficiently, whether they're large dollar, you know, sort of bet the company type issues or much smaller day-to-day issues that arise, we're able to cut through red tape. The two other areas that I'm ending up spending a fair amount of time, but a much smaller bucket, is I do a lot of advising and work with clients who are evaluating an investment where there's some hair on it, you know, whether it's an active piece of litigation that they want an assessment of the overall exposure and the probabilities in the case, or whether it's knowing, you know, that the government has sent a subpoena but not having all of the underlying details. I'm spending an increasing amount of time, you know, involved in the diligence process, both assessing the risk and then helping, you know, with my transactional colleagues in drafting appropriate indemnification and other provisions to bucket that risk and make sure that there's, you know, adequate coverage and that any risks are appropriately assessed and dealt with. And then similarly, I deal with a lot of post-transaction issues when indemnification fights come up and we're able to dig through the documents and, you know, work to resolve those amicably if possible or proceed to litigation if not.
And let me ask you another question. So a portfolio company gets sued in a false claims case, whether government or joints or not. Does the private equity fund ever find themselves getting sued as well as part of that, or are they able to segregate the risk so it stays at the portfolio company?
So it's a great question. A few years ago, I would have told you with a fair degree of confidence that the private equity fund was going to be kept separate and was unlikely to have any issue on that front. Over the last couple of years, there's been a few cases, you know, a couple of which have been highly publicized, some that have not, where private equity funds have been named as defendants in false claims cases as well that were brought against a portfolio company. One of the things that I would say, and I've advised clients of this regularly, is I think investing in the healthcare space, you need to be very cognizant of the robust regulatory landscape and the risk of enforcement actions. What I do not think is the situation is that private equity funds get named or brought in strictly by virtue of having an ownership interest in the entity. So what I'm seeing is more instances where the private equity fund had some direct involvement in the alleged wrongdoing that led to them being named. So we've seen cases, for example, where the allegation was that the private equity fund created a compensation plan that was a tantamount to a kickback scheme in violation of the anti-kickback statute, regardless of the merits of the allegations. And we've seen a few cases like this. The concept there was that the private equity fund wasn't just a passive owner, but rather was actively involved in creating the problematic compensation model. And the other areas we've seen it is where, you know, there's been issues that have been raised to the board or at other levels, and the board is controlled by the private equity fund and is either continuing the wrongdoing knowingly or not taking action to curtail it. But we're not typically seeing private equity named just by virtue of ownership. But I think it's always a good reminder that, you know, the relators bar is sophisticated and looks to follow the money. So it's one more reminder to be deliberate and focused on compliance in investing in the healthcare space and not cutting corners just because it's a portfolio company. That's your investment and it's your dollars tied up there that you need to protect as well.
When private equity funds or the lenders behind them, the lenders that work closely with them, are doing diligence on an investment, and the investor either, or the portfolio company or potential portfolio company, either he has an active case or has diligence issues that come up in that, in the diligence, such as there's a billing practice that's improper or questionable, there's a relationship practice that's improper or questionable. What's the temperature of how private equity funds and lenders approach this? Are they very skittish, or are they really trying to analyze how much exposure is this? Is this something we really have to worry about or not? What's your sense of how the private equity funds and lenders are looking at these issues?
I think it's a very fund-specific question. I've had clients who have been pretty direct and candid in saying to me, we're not going to invest here unless you can review this and tell us that there's absolutely no risk, or as much certainty as you can give us that the risk is de minimis. I've had other clients who have said, we have risk tolerance, but what we want to understand is the magnitude of the issue as well as the probabilities of the risk, and then let's figure out how we can paper it to make sure that responsibility is ultimately allocated appropriately. So I think it's really very fund specific. There are certainly transactions that I've evaluated where I've told my clients, I just don't think this is salvageable. I think the risk is too great. That comes up particularly from my standpoint, where it's not, where either A, the magnitude of the potential risk is, liability that could, undermine the entire company. But it also comes up a lot where, frankly, the underlying issue, if true, would fundamentally impact and harm the business model. So in other words, if there's a billing practice that is alleged to be improper, but it's generating, 60% of the revenue for the target, business, that's not just a problem in terms of correcting it and the risk of litigation. It's also a problem because the underlying viability of the business and profitability could be impacted. So, it's really a frank discussion with clients in terms of, three things. One, what's the magnitude and scope of the risk? Two, how readily we can calculate probabilities and give them some level of comfort. And then three, whether we can sort of, carefully bucket that risk to protect them going forward, or at least to quantify it in such a way that they are comfortable they have protections, whether it's in indemnification or escrow, or because, we've pre-negotiated that there's going to be a resolution with the government. We've certainly done deals where, a self-disclosure, for example, was a condition of the transaction in order to make sure that everything was accomplished. So, you know, there's not an easy answer because it is very case specific and frankly client specific, but those are a lot of the factors we're looking at.
Fantastic and fascinating. I mean, the world of working with the private equity funds, just overall fascinating and interesting to you, and just a great mix of intelligent people and fascinating portfolio companies doing interesting things.
Absolutely. It's been a great add to the practice is spending a lot of time focusing here. And I think it allows different areas of my skill set to come out where it's not just the litigation, but also assessing business risk and figuring out creative solutions to drive deals forward or potentially to politely suggest that things might not make sense because of the overall risk. But it's a great, you know, I found the people working at these private equity funds and running them to be a great group of people to work with and for, obviously demanding and a lot of time pressures, but it's kind of an environment I think I thrive under and really enjoy working with them. So it's been a fascinating area to spend more time in.
David, fantastic to visit with you on the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. You yourself are a law school valedictorian, a partner, and help run the co-chair, the Health Sciences and Life Care, Life Sciences and Healthcare Group at McGuire Woods, and just a pleasure to get to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.